Hello, West Liberty. This is Jacob, and you are listening to WGLZ 91.5 FM, where we are College Radio, and we are passionately vocal. You are listening to the fourth and final part, Distinctive Discussion, of the Passionately Vocal series. For those who don't know, this is where students of the DMD 204 Audio for Media course perform interviews with a variety of people, ranging from students to faculty here at West Liberty, and eventually reach out to people off of the hilltop. And speaking of things off the hilltop, I'm joined by a very special guest today, Howard Monroe. Howard, how are you doing today?
Jacob, good to be here with you. Love to talk to student broadcasters. It's an important thing that that we get a chance to talk with you and maybe get to get some information from those of us in the real world. So it's good to be here today.
Yes, sir. And I'd like to thank you once again for your time in doing this. So, you know, I did a little bit of research on you before, you know, contacting you.
Well, that's always dangerous. That's always dangerous. I just want to say that.
So, for those who don't know, Howard Monroe used to work for WTRF-7 as an assignments editor, and he currently works at the local radio station, The Watchdog, both of which are based out of Wheeling, West Virginia. So, before we, you know, get into the meat and potatoes, got a small little question for you, Howard. So, considering that you've worked both in the television and radio sides of the broadcasting realm, which one do you prefer overall?
You know, it's interesting. Probably most people would not say this. I much prefer radio. I found when I worked in television, it is a very collaborative media. You've got to get a group of people all pulling together the same direction. I'm kind of a, I won't say a lone wolf, but I like to do things my own way and do things myself. So I actually find radio to be more up my alley, more akin to my personality and my attitude. So I think I actually like radio better.
Okay. I mean, I think that's pretty interesting because I started out as like a television broadcaster. And as you know, I'm sitting here before you now, I'm doing like radio business. So I'm definitely finding that pretty interesting to see like that comparison. So,
well, let's be honest about this. Television is the big medium. Television is where there are, quite frankly, more job opportunities. Television is where a lot of people want to gravitate to because it is a little more, people are more aware of you. Radio is, first of all, not what it used to be as an industry. And secondly, it's sort of a more of a behind the scenes or behind the ears kind of industry as opposed to television. So it's hard. A lot of younger folks like yourself, I don't know what your game plans are, a lot of younger folks gravitate more quickly to television. And I think that they sometimes miss the fun you can have with radio.
That's definitely very interesting that you said that, because I have, you know, a professor right now who is trying to get me to do like radio work. And to be honest with you, I'm not very experienced in like the actual like broadcasting part yet because of the way my schedule and stuff got laid out. So I definitely, you know, try to keep an open mind, definitely. So I guess, you know, leading into that. So whenever you first started, like, looking into your studies, like, were you considering broadcasting first, or were you, like, in a completely different field?
No, I was actually planning to be a lawyer. I was on a pre-law track in college, but I was working. I started in 1968. I was in high school, and I had done a public affairs show with a bunch of teenagers in the 60s. People wanted to give teenagers a chance, so local radio station put on a show. We called it Teen Line, teens talking on teen topics, and I really enjoyed that short show, half an hour show. Also did in the very early days, late 60s, early 70s, I did a cable TV show broadcast here locally on the local cable system long before there was a Comcast or anything of that nature, but the local cable system. And I was going to college for law, and I worked weekends at a radio station here in Wheeling, came back from WVU every weekend. I kind of liked it. I took a semester off and worked in the news department at the radio station, liked that even better. And eventually my career path kind of shifted. I became a talk show host, and that is, for a large extent, news and talk is where I've been ever since. It wasn't where I thought I was going to be, but it's where I am now.
That is definitely some very interesting information. I know my parents and them were born around 1960s, so, you know, that's definitely a time period that kind of rings true for me in some instances. And, you know, speaking of, you mentioned, like, you were on, you know, you did, like, a talk show and stuff because you were going into lawyer business. So is that kind of, like, your gateway into becoming affiliated with, like, the news stations? Or was there, like, a different route you took to that?
Well, the station I was at, which was what you might know now as WAMP FM, it was an AM station at the time. And it was one of the very first in the country stations to do all news and talk. It was a small market like this. I was not competing with, but we were doing what people in New York and Chicago and San Francisco were doing, but here in this area. So it was an all news and talk station. And I had been a disc jockey for a while, and then I transitioned into the newsroom. I became a reporter, a news anchor on the radio station, ended up becoming news director of the radio station, and then ended up as a talk show host. So the place where I was kind of led me into the news slash talk business in radio.
I definitely see where, you know, we were talking in class before about, like, them connections and talking about, like, how the, it's like a web of, like, how the news networks work. So, You know, you mentioning, like, your story with that, that's definitely putting some dots together there. So.
Well, you never know where the world's going to take you, Jacob, you know. I plan to be a lawyer. The radio work I was doing was a disc jockey. Big-time rock and roll radio disc jockey, back when the big-time rock and roll radio disc jockeys were popular, segued into news and just kind of stayed there the rest of my time. Eventually, as you pointed out, I went into television for a short period of time and went back to radio after a while.
So I guess that also brings up another question that I had. So during your very short time in the television field, I had mentioned at the beginning that you were an assignments editor. What exactly is that role, and what is it that they do?
I was, it was very late 80s. I was brought on board at WTRF-TV as the assignments editor and the assistant news director. And essentially, my job was to run the day-to-day operations of the newsroom. An assignments editor traditionally, and I did this role, takes a look at what are some of the things happening in the community today, assigns the stories to different reporters to go out and conduct interviews and get facts and get information, come back to the station, create their news report, whether it's a complete what we call a package, which is audio and video all put together, an anchor cutting in, or whether it's just a little clip of audio or a little story written. So I was that. I assigned people where to go. And then because I carried the title of assistant news director, I was more involved in the management overall of the newsroom. It's a great time. I enjoyed it immensely. But after a while, I had a chance to get back into radio, and I felt that was more of my calling, so I did that. But it was a great time sitting there working at Channel 7. They were great people to work for.
So you had also mentioned during that you were, you know, you had that calling back to radio, and I'm not talking about, like, just for broadcasting with this one, but how do you know, like, when it's time, like, you need to go back to a different job? Like, how do you know when your calling is really, like, coming out?
Well, I don't know. Part of it is if something opens up that makes sense to you. I had a chance to go back. I was, again, I was working as the assignments editor and assistant news director at WTRF-TV. I had a chance to go back and become a manager of a radio station, which gave me a bigger responsibility there. I felt like I had learned what I needed to learn from television, and I think maybe they had learned what they could learn from me. And so the calling, the sense that it was time to move on was there. I don't know how to define that. There was an opportunity put in front of me. I felt like this might be good, and so I took it. Worked out well for me. Sometimes people don't find it works out that well. I know a lot of folks who've left the business and ended up running back into it. But for me, it worked well.
Well, I'm glad to hear that things turned out very well for you. I know for some folks, it can be very difficult to do that. But I think that whenever it works out well, it tends to work out really well for whoever is going through that situation.
Well, I left and went to run a radio station, and then I eventually ended up owning a radio station myself for about 15 years, and then I sold it to the folks who actually own the current radio station. So I'm working for them now, but I owned the station beforehand. So it's been a good career, you know, and each step along the way, I found a way to step up. One thing I say about radio is anybody who begins in radio probably goes through lean years. I went through some early in my career where pay wasn't great. It was a lot of hard work, a lot of long hours, and not the greatest pay. You have to be able to stick to it. I have now found myself in a very comfortable position, but you gotta be willing to pay the dues and to walk up the ladder.
Yes, sir. You gotta stick to it. So, you know, I guess, kind of moving away from television and moving towards the radio, here's a little bit of a lighthearted question. So I noticed that whenever I was finding like contact information under like the Watchdog website, I noticed how it was a more sports oriented like website. And I wanted to ask if you had always had like a strong liking towards like sports and, you know, like the athletics.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, actually, no. I'm probably the least sports-oriented at our entire radio station. The radio station is very sports-oriented. It is probably the growth area of radio, quite frankly, is sports radio. I've had sports people working with me and for me and around me my entire career. Sports has always been central to it. It's very central to the Watchdog Radio Network. We do 3, 4, 5 high school games a week. We are the WVU station. We carry the Cleveland Browns football. We do basketball, softball. We do an awful lot of things. Why? Well, for one reason, the community loves it. You know, the people love their local sports, and it's financially successful, brings an audience into us. But to your direct question, I am more of a political guy. My show is much more political. And so it is personally not my particular bailiwick, but I'm glad to be at a station where it is so strong and powerful in our lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you based off of a personal experience and what I've seen in the real world, people will tend to like go to a job that they honestly don't have any interest in. And, you know, I saw, like I said, I'd seen like what was on the website and I had only assumed like what it was you liked or not liked because you were, you know, affiliated with them. And I wanted to ask that question because I know there's going to be audience members who are currently listening in right now and they may be looking to get a job or something. And, you know, they'd probably be thinking, do I want a job that I'm going to really like or am I going to get a job that I just don't like at all and deal with it?
Well, that's the question people have to ask themselves. You know, what are you aiming for? It is a philosophical question. I think we need to ask about the whole purpose of our college education. Are we being trained for skills or are we being trained to find things that we love and we like? That's a much more philosophical question than you and I have time for. But I will say this, radio, when I began in radio, stations tended to be a amalgam of different things. There would be news, there would be talk, there would be sports, there would be a lot of music, generally pop music, rock and roll music in the early days, whatever you might want to call it. Now most stations have their own little niche. You have the country station, you have the rock and roll station, you have the all sports station. But the one thing that you will notice if you look around the Ohio Valley is common to everyone, whether it's country, rock and roll, whatever the format is, one thing that's common, they all have some form of local sports, play-by-play of high school and so on, because that is a touchstone, certainly here in the Ohio Valley, but I think all across the country, that's a touchstone of a community. And radio is supposed to serve its local community, and that's the way it can. So no matter what your format is, as we call them, whether you're news and talk, country, if you're a classic rock, if you're a contemporary rock, everybody at some point delves into the world of sports.
You know, I definitely did notice that. And, you know, now that you're mentioning like how the pieces are kind of there, I'm definitely putting them together, and it's kind of scary in a way, but you know, that's kind of like how the world works, right?
Well, it is. So like I said, that you may radio is a different career than when I started, different business than when I started. By the way, do you know, Jacob, when I started in radio, you had to go, I had to go to Pittsburgh, you had to go to a federal building someplace and take a test in order to be allowed to run the control board. I had to get my third class radio telephone operator certificate with broadcast endorsement. And those of us of those days, we would get those little blue pieces of paper and we would frame them and hang them on the wall because we couldn't touch that control board until we were federally approved to do that. It's one of the things that's changed over the years.
So, I mean, that is really interesting because I know, like, for some jobs still, like my dad, for example, he's a coal truck worker. And he has to go to Pittsburgh to do, like, you know, like the testing and making sure that he's still eligible for his job. And,
right.
You know, I don't think a lot of people understand that are not in the workforce yet. But Pittsburgh was at one point very, you know, it was like a common place to get your job and stuff and like make sure that you're qualified. And it's really interesting seeing them parallels between how like a broadcaster and a coal truck worker could, you know, have to go to the same place for a job.
We were not allowed to touch the control board or the transmitter or anything else. Basically couldn't work in radio on the broadcast side of things. So you could be a salesman or something. You couldn't work in radio unless you had that third, we call it the third class ticket. And all of us in the early days, you know, we had to go through study, and we didn't get a classes. We had to study books and figure out how to do it, knew how to calculate the transmitter power. We learned all kinds of things. Now you don't have to do that. Now, Jacob, you can just walk into any radio station. You can run the control board. As long as you know how to turn the knobs and push the switches, that's all you have to do. But, boy, we had to prove it, and we had to have that that little blue piece of paper. It was an important part of everybody's life in broadcasting once upon a time.
Yep, the times sure have changed. And speaking of time, in a moment, we will continue talking about radio. But for the folks who may be tuning in right now, you are listening to The Distinctive Discussion, which is the final part of the Passionately Vocal series. And, you know, I'm Jacob. So, hi, welcome. Welcome to the party. So, and for those who don't know, I'm currently interviewing Howard Monroe, former assistant writer for WTRF7 and the current radio broadcaster and talk show host for The Watchdog, which is based out of Wheeling, West Virginia. And we were just talking about how, like, you know, how radio was, you know, kind of like coming to be and how it's changed over the years. And now we also talked about some like television broadcasting stuff and how like people can, you know, they can be able to get in there and find their calling to their job. So, Howard, I know you had mentioned that you currently work at the station that you used to own for 15 years at The Watchdog. So what exactly do you do at your job aside from just doing like talk show stuff?
You could ask a lot of people and they would say what I do is just spit out a lot of hot air every day. I do a 3-hour morning talk show from 7 to 10 o'clock in the morning. Most of the rest of my time is spent preparing for it. Again, I'm at the tail end of my career. This is what I like to do. I guess I consider myself semi-retired. So I do the radio show. I plan for the radio show. I schedule interviews with guests and I do a lot of reading. And then we do the radio show. Most people, again, I'm in a different stage of my career right now. Most people spend a lot of time doing other things in the business, but I do the radio show, and that's pretty much it. I did it from my home for a long time. Prior to COVID, I'd had some health issues, and we set up a home studio. When COVID came along, we all at the radio station, went home and broadcast from our homes as opposed to being in the station. And for a couple of years after that, I stayed home and broadcast. I'm back in the studio now. I like to be around people when I'm broadcasting. I like to be able to see the people I'm working with. It's not a bad job. It's a good job. I enjoy what I'm doing right now.
I'm glad to hear that. I really am. So you also mentioned like how you have to do like preparations every day. Are you able to describe like what those are?
It's pretty simple. I spend an awful lot of time on the internet. I go out to meetings or press conferences just to see what's happening in the community. I talk to people. Again, I spend a huge amount of time on the internet. I've got subscriptions to all of the national newspapers, the national news services, and I do a lot of reading there. Then I take from that and I figure, how can we make this local? So I'll get a national story that I read in the Washington Post, and I'll wonder, what does that mean here in Wheeling? I'll try and track down somebody local, a local expert, a local politician, a local business person who can bring some perspective to it. We do a lot of interviews on my radio show, so that's how I do it. But I spend, and my wife will tell you, I spend too much time. I spend all my time just sort of surfing the internet. You know, you see those people in the restaurants, they're all looking on their phones, and we all say, why don't they put that phone down? Well, I'm actually working most of the time, so don't tell me to put my phone down.
Oh, that is definitely a moment that our family has all the time. We'll be like in McDonald's or something, and people have their phones out, and they'd be like, why they got their phones out? They're so antisocial. And then I'm like, I'm not even responding because I have my phone in my pocket. I have to pull it out to see what time it is. So I can.
Jacob, let me ask you. All right, radio. I started in radio. Radio was sort of the mother medium, if you will. Television grew out, and the local television is a very important medium now. Radio's still around, but television. So it was radio, television. What's next? Broadcasters. You're a young broadcaster. What's the next step that's going on right now that you need to be thinking about as you engage in your studies and think about your career?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I know right now the current state of, you know, media as a whole is they're trying to get like this artificial intelligence or the AI out in the world. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, right now I know that it's kind of a big problem for people in the broadcasting field because they're trying to take away our jobs. And, you know, at the time when I first started back in like 2020, 2019, in that era, when I was still in high school and I was still trying to decide what job I wanted, you know, at the time, AI was not really like this big deal yet. Like it was there, but it was not like where it is now. And it's definitely a big threat that we have to watch out on. And, you know, right now, like our school and stuff, we have, like policies in place where you're not supposed to use that for like assignments and stuff. But at the same time, you have bigger corporations who are cutting out the middleman because they want to save some money.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And there are some, not a lot, there are a handful of radio stations that have gone to AI disc jockeys. In other words, they're not even human beings. AI now just does the disc jockeying. They announce the records and they give the time, and they essentially are replacing human beings. Not a lot of that yet, but there are a number of stations that are now experimenting with having AI hosts, AI disc jockeys, AI, you know, record players, so to speak. But I was thinking of something else. The next step, you need to be thinking about this. The next step is the internet. It's the podcasting. It is taking your radio program, your television programming, and reaching the wider audience you can do now through the internet. That's where most radio stations are beginning to focus a lot of their efforts now. On my radio show, every morning, as soon as we're done, we put up the podcast of the entire program. So folks who can't listen from 7 to 10 in the morning can listen on Apple Podcasts any time of the day they want to. Or somebody who listened to a segment this morning when we interviewed a political observer, Matt Robeson, one of my political observers, and they liked what they heard or want to hear more, they can go and listen to it. The internet is now the brave new ground that we're plowing in the broadcasting business. And it is something that as a young broadcaster, you need to be aware of and start thinking about.
Yes, I definitely agree. I know that it's like a very, you know, I guess you can call it taboo subject, because right now it's still in its infancy and there's a lot of what ifs in the air right now. But, you know, and I agree completely with the internet, because it's like the internet is basically like this infinite like swimming pool of content and ideas, basically. And while I can see like podcasting definitely being a way to get information out there or to have discussions there, it kind of, you know, even then podcasting may not be completely safe, because podcasting still requires a voice. And right now what we're seeing is this artificial intelligence taking on the voices that we hear, and it's led to a lot of people questioning, is the voices we hear real, or are the voices here like, you know, this made up stuff by some corporate business?
It's a very big philosophical issue. Again, goes beyond just the issue of broadcasting. It goes to this whole issue of deep fake pictures and photographs and videos. You know, how do you trust what you see when it may not be what you see? How do you know it's not AI? How do you know it's not a manufactured video or a manufactured? Once upon a time was easy. When the internet first got started and some of these, you know, videos started, it was easy to tell. If you knew what you were looking for, you could tell. These days, it's very, very hard. In the news and talk end of the broadcasting business, so far, I think AI is not able to be as interactive as it needs to be. When I'm doing a radio talk show and I'm talking to a caller on the phone line, or I'm talking to my producer in the studio, the back and forth we give, I don't know that AI can duplicate that yet, but that's coming down the road as well. These are all big issues that you as a young broadcaster will find yourself facing. And there will be other issues that I can't see and that you can't see. By the time you get into the work world, if you stay in the broadcasting world, there'll be something out there totally different from what you thought was going to be there. I can't tell you what it is, but something's going to be there. That's why you need to train broadly for this business.
I mean, the world is always changing, and always new things are being introduced that could or could not hamper the success or, you know, tragedy of anyone anywhere at any time. And before we move on to the next question regarding like what you're doing, I do want to say that I think in terms of just this whole discussion about the artificial intelligence and what they're doing to jobs right now, I think, like you said, it's not sustainable yet in order to like for companies to take advantage of it. But I know that like one of the key things they need right now is like emotion to it. Once the artificial intelligence understands what emotion is and how it works, it just makes everything like 10 times harder to distinguish, and it makes it far more believable. And I think that's going to be like the real turning point in the future if it comes to that.
It is, but what is AI? AI is the ability for this artificial intelligence to learn on its own. That's the beauty and the danger of it. Okay. In the beginning, AI kind of sounded like this and you could tell what it was, and it learned itself. Maybe if I sound a little more normal, it won't be so bad. And will it soon be able to interact? Will it be able to, it can answer multiple questions if you put to it, but can it do it with a voice? That will come down the road. 5 years ago in the broadcasting business, a lot of us laughed. AI going to take our jobs. Now there are people who are looking around and going, oh, well, AI might take my job because it moves along quickly.
Personally, the way I look at it, it's kind of like raising a child, basically. And we, the humans, are all the parents of it. And we keep feeding it information. And eventually it's going to come to a point where it's going to become an adult, the AI will.
Yeah.
So
that's a very perceptive way of looking at it. And eventually it will begin to think for itself. It sort of does now. We don't even know what AI is exactly, right? I mean, we call it AI. It will begin to eventually think for itself, and it learns, and it grows. It is why you see a number of people involved in AI, Jacob, who are raising flags and saying, we need to be a little careful about this. I don't want to sound like some science fiction novel, but there are people saying, you know, will AI take over the world? That might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but the more it learns, the more it can do, the more it can do, the more it will learn, and so on it goes. So it's something that can't just be allowed to happen. It needs to be considered and reflected on, maybe regulated, certainly better understood, I think, than most of us in the general public do.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's by the way, that's what talk show hosts do. We come up with a subject and we start prattling on about it. That's what talk show hosts do. That's what I just did there with you.
I mean, I will say, I'm definitely enjoying this, so I don't know, maybe in my future I might be a talk show host.
It'd be good. Give me a call someday. Listen, I won't be around forever. Maybe a place for you. I don't know.
But, well, I can definitely say there are some people looking for a talk show, like getting into radio, that I know right now who are just now freshmen. So I'll have to definitely keep them in mind with that.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting part of the business. And probably, again, sports radio, probably the biggest growing part of the broadcasting radio business. But the talk business is growing as well. We're at a cycle right now. Most of the talk shows tend to be very conservative, you know, hardline right-wing talk show in the mold of Rush Limbaugh. I don't even know if you're too young to remember Rush Limbaugh. He passed away a number of years ago. But will that cycle change? What kind of a talk show host will we need in the future? I think it's a well-rounded talk show host. I think it's someone who didn't necessarily go to broadcasting school, but learned history and sociology and science and can put all of that together in a way that is articulated well. And you can think well. So just some thoughts from me about where the business might be going.
I definitely agree with a lot of what you're saying regarding that. And I think it is something that a lot of us need to keep in mind, because it's not just broadcasting that's being affected now. It's like relating to the common job too. So, you know, and you kind of switching topics here for a quick second. So since we're talking about, you know, like your job and like what you're doing, what are a couple of things that you enjoy about your job?
Oh, it's different every day. The most important thing is it's different every day. You know, today we were talking about national politics. Had a guest on talking about the presidential political scene. Tomorrow we need some mayors coming in to talk about that. Later in the week we're going to be talking with some folks who are putting on some Christmas events here in the Upper Ohio Valley. It's different every day, and half the time I don't even know. I have an outline every day. I prepare a show outline every day, kind of divided into 15-minute segments, and I know what I want to do. Usually by the second 15-minute segment of a three-hour show, it's all gone out the it's all gone off the tracks, because things change. So I like the unpredictability. I like the fact that it's different every day. I like the fact that I think I can have some influence in the community. I think I like the fact that I can interview the mayor, that I can talk to the governor, and that I do have the senators on, and that maybe the audience gains some things from that. There is the power of influence is there as well. It's a cool job. It's a great job. Started out as a disc jockey. I don't know if I ever could have been that all my life. The talk show host is a totally different animal.
I can definitely, you know, I think before I actually started doing my, you know, initial like looking into like who to talk to, I definitely think I ran into your name a couple times, not just like from, you know, initially searching like people around the area, because let's be honest here, I'm not very good at like recognizing people. I recognize them more from their looks than like their actual name. So I can, you know, and you know, being the voice behind everything, that is definitely something very important, because as you mentioned, you want to be an influence on people, your audience that's listening. And I definitely think that is a very important thing to recognize. And I think that's also a very good thing that you look forward to, being that influence and, you know, helping people in some form or fashion.
Well, you could have possibly heard my name up there on the hilltop. For several years, I was involved with the West Liberty University television station worked with Teresa Gretchen, who still is in charge of the station, and she and I worked together on a number of things. And for 5 years or so, the local newspaper editor, John McCabe, and I did a weekly talk show on West Liberty Television. We called it At Issue. We discussed the issues of the week. So the West Liberty campus is not unfamiliar to me. And my favorite part still is going to the cafeteria, but that's a whole different story.
Yeah, speaking of Dr. Gretchen, before we move on, she wanted to say hi, so I definitely wanted to make sure I got that message across. And, you know, so we talked about some of your favorite parts of the job. What are some of the parts of the job that you may or may not like at all, or things that you would want to change about your job?
You need to understand where I'm at right now, because I'm at the end of my career, and I'm in a position where I kind of do what I want to do, you know. I honestly, there's not much in my current situation in my last 5 or 6 years worth of work that I would change. There's not much that I find unhappy and unsatisfactory. You know, when I was running the radio station, when I owned the radio station, I used to say, I always wonder what owners did. And then I realized what we did mainly was change the toilet paper. You know, because when you're an owner, everything is a lot of routine things have to be done at a radio station. I've stepped aside from that. I really don't do that. I mean, you need to understand, I do a radio show and walk away. I'm unusual. This is not what most people will do. But I'm at that point in my career where I do that now. I do the show. I enjoy every aspect of the show. Let me back up. I do an early morning show. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. You know what I don't like? I don't like getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. 4 o'clock in the morning comes too early. That's what I don't like about the job.
I can definitely relate to that one. And I feel like at least 70% of the audience members can definitely relate to that one.
You know, I've done it most of my life. You get used to it. No, I've done it most of my life and I've accepted it, but you never get used to it. I get up early. I get a cup of coffee. I get ready for work. Then I start scanning the newspapers, going online, looking to see what I've got to work with today. It's fun, but it's that waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. If I could just somehow miraculously just pop up at 7 o'clock and be right in the middle of the radio show, that'd be okay. Waking up. That's it. That's the thing I don't like the most. That's what I don't like the most.
I think a lot of people can relate to that one. Absolutely. So one last question before we wrap things up. So this can be a current memory. This can be a past one. It can be from the very beginning. Do you have like a very specific favorite memory that you have that was in the broadcasting field?
Wow. I got to broadcast from the White House one time. Bill Clinton was in office. That was very special. I have broadcast from the Capitol Hill and the Senate quite a few times. I got a chance to attend the State of the Union speech on at least 3 occasions, as an invited guest, as because of being in the broadcast business. I guess it's more the things that I've done than a particular memory. Some of the memories, Jacob, from my early years, probably best we don't talk about them here on the radio. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
Best I best don't share out loud. But the things that I've done, you know, are great. I've broadcast from the Goodyear blimp, and I've ridden on the back of an elephant. I did a week in Saudi Arabia, which was a phenomenal week. Maybe that was my most interesting memory. I spent a week in Saudi Arabia. They invited 7 talk show hosts from America to come to Saudi Arabia and to travel the country. And we literally traveled the entire breadth and width of Saudi Arabia, learning about the culture, getting a sense of what the government was like, getting a little scared a couple of times because it was not far after 9/11 when there was a lot of tension there. Maybe that's it. If I had to pick one, maybe it was the memory of being in Saudi Arabia and a special privilege that it was. A scary privilege, but a special privilege that it was.
You know, I will say before, you know, we kind of wrap things up again. So you mentioned like how you basically kind of been around all over the place, like across the world mainly. You know, one of the reasons I wanted to get into broadcasting is so that I can, you know, kind of leave the tri-state area, you know, between Ohio, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania, and West Virginia, kind of get out there and, you know, go see what things are like elsewhere and report on it. And, you know, it's very interesting that you brought up, like, how you've basically been from, like big places like the White House all the way over to Saudi Arabia. I definitely think that's something very interesting that not a lot of people can say about themselves.
No, I've had a really good career, and I've had a chance to do an awful lot of things. Again, I was in, for a while, I was broadcasting from Washington, D.C., maybe twice or three times a year. We did that on a fairly regular basis. I can't remember what the issue was. It was a key issue before the Supreme Court, got to broadcast from the Supreme Court. So it was, and then, as I said, I had a chance to go to Saudi Arabia. I broadcast from New York City a number of times. It's been a good career, and I've had a good chance to get around and see things and meet people. And to this day, some of those contacts, you know, are still helpful to me. They come back, and I get a chance to touch base with people who I have met along the way who are in positions of power or positions of authority or at least interesting positions. So, done right, you can make those things happen. Do something you like, make yourself happy, and then do it well. Stick it out, and when you reach the time of your life where I'm, you turn around, and look back, and you go, well, darn, that was fun.
I definitely think that is a good place to, you know, kind of leave the audience at, because like I said at the beginning of this, this entire interview was basically to see like what it's like to be in, you know, not just broadcasting, but like the world of jobs as a whole, and to see like what it's actually like coming from somebody who has the experience in the multiple years of them at that. So to the folks who tuned in, I definitely hope that you took a thing or two out of this interview, and I hope that you can see where Howard has come from in terms of like some of the aspects of his job that he has done. And, you know, before we get back to the music, once again, Howard, I'd like to thank you very much for your time and taking it out of your busy schedule to be able to come onto this radio show and talk about what you do.
Jacob, it's been a lot of fun. You're a smart guy. I like hearing some of the things you say. So it's been a real pleasure talking with you and to your audience. And tell the kids up there, you're all kids to me. Tell the kids up there, you know, give me a call if they want to learn about radio or come down and visit us sometime. We're happy to do that.
Absolutely. But right now, we need to get back to the music right here on WGLZ 91.5 FM, where we are College Radio and we are passionately vocal.